You will hear a number of different recordings and you'll have to answer questions on what you hear. There'll be time for you to read the instructions and questions and you'll have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in four sections. At the end of the test, you'll be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. Now turn to section one. Section 1. You'll hear a woman complaining about an item she has bought. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 4. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 4.
Smart Electricals, Mike speaking. How may I help you today?
Ah, good morning. I'm calling to complain about an item I recently purchased from your company. I'm not happy with it.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. I'll take you through the company's complaints procedure. I'll need to retrieve your files from our records so that we can discuss the problem properly and find a solution. I'll need to take some details from you first. Is that okay?
Okay, but I don't have a lot of time. Will it take long?
Not long, madam. Can I first take your name?
Yes, it's Susan York. Y-O-R-K-E.
Okay. Can I have the address, please?
Yes, it's flat 1, 25 Alpine Avenue, that's Alpine Avenue, Harchester. The postcode is HA65LD.
Okay. Next, could you give me your telephone number? Preferably one that we can call you on during normal working hours.
Well, the home one is 01734-525-268. But you're only likely to catch me on that number in the evenings. I usually have my mobile phone with me during the day, though.
It's probably best to take that number, then.
All right. My mobile number is 0781-233-452.
And do you have the order reference number on you, by any chance?
Well, I have the receipt that the camera came with in front of me.
Ah, good.
Which number is it? It's a bit confusing.
It should be the 7-digit number on the top left corner of your invoice.
Let me have a look. I need my glasses. Found it. It's DMX8443.
Thanks. Now, when did you purchase the item?
Well, the camera was delivered last Monday, on the 1st of February. I ordered it online about 2 weeks before that, but I can't remember the exact date.
If you have another look on the invoice receipt, the date should be there.
Oh, yes. Here it is. January the 15th.
Okay. I'll make a note of that. So, the item is a digital camera?
Yes, it's the Aqua PowerShot model, in silver.
Thank you. Did you take out any kind of insurance when you bought it?
Well, no. It was on special offer. I didn't need to pay any extra for the insurance because it came with a special 4-star policy.
Well, it means you're fully covered for at least another 3 years.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 5 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 5 to 10.
Right. What is the problem?
Yes, the first thing is that it came with one memory card in the box when there were supposed to be two.
Oh, dear. I'm terribly sorry about that. It must have been an oversight in the packing department. I can do something about that straight away and get one sent out to you.
Well, that's not the only thing. I bought it as a present for my niece because she loves swimming. It said on the website that it was waterproof, but when she took it on holiday and tried to use it underwater, it got ruined because water got into the lens. You can imagine how disappointed my niece was.
I certainly can. Were those the only problems?
No, there was one other thing. It came with a case to protect it. When I opened the box to take the case out, I saw that it had a big scratch on it.
We're really sorry about that. I can offer to have the camera repaired for you. In the event that it can't be repaired, we'll send you a replacement.
I don't think so. Seeing as it was faulty in the first place, I wouldn't want another one. I think I'd rather have my money back. Can I get a refund?
Yes, of course. If you send it back to customer services, I'll make sure it's dealt with.
Thank you very much. That is the end of section one. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section two. Section two. You'll hear a tour guide talking to a group of visitors about Bestley Castle. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Welcome to Bestley Castle. It's nice to see so many of you here today. Before we go in, I'd like to tell you some information about the castle, the things to see and do, and the facilities available to you in the grounds. We'll do our best to make this a truly memorable visit. Now, the castle grounds are quite big, and we don't want you to get lost, so I'm going to give you an idea of the layout. At the moment, we are at the entrance, and immediately to our left is the tourist information office. Go here if you need any questions answered. They'll be happy to help. And of course, behind the tourist office is the car park where the coach dropped you off. And it'll also pick you up from the same spot at 5 p.m. today. In front of us are the water gardens. If you stroll through, you get to the North Bridge, which is the entrance to Bestley Castle. Take your time and enjoy looking around the castle. There's a lot of history steeped in those walls. As you leave the castle via the South Bridge, you'll be greeted with the sight of roaming deer. During the day, there will be scheduled feeding opportunities where visitors can get involved. However, we do request that you do not feed the deer outside these times. To the right of the deer park is the Castle Museum, and behind that is our award-winning restaurant. It's a relatively new addition to the castle grounds, but is fast gaining a reputation for its food. Alternatively, you can choose to dine in the picnic area on the other side of the deer park. It's perfect for the family as it's next to the kids' play area and homemade ice cream hut. We hope that on your way out, you pop into the gift shop by the exit for something to remember us by.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 16 to 20.
Admission to the grounds is free for all. That includes the museum, gardens, and picnic area. There is an admission fee for the castle, which is £6.50 for adults, with a 10% discount for students and retired people. Children under the age of 16 pay half adult price, and under 8 go in free. There are many spectacular events throughout the year, and for most of them, there's also an admission fee. As these events are in high demand, it's a good idea to book well in advance. Some of the exciting events planned for this year are the Summer Medieval Festival, where you can watch old-fashioned nights and experience a feast in the halls of the castle, as if you were a guest of King Henry VIII himself. There are several concerts planned this year too, including a rock concert at an admission price of £10 per person and a special jazz concert, which is free to the public. I'm sure you'll agree that all tastes and ages will be satisfied. One scary but extremely popular event is the annual Haunted Castle event at the end of October, where the castle comes alive at night. Why don't you come along, if you're brave enough? Another sight to see is the fantastic firework display on November 5th, and the cost of that includes refreshments. We also have a long tradition of raising money for charity. The charity event, held every year on the first day of May, will this year be an archery contest. Entrance is free, but donations are certainly welcome. This year, we'll be collecting money on behalf of a charity for elderly people, Age Concern. Just in case you can't remember all of that, you can pick up a leaflet showing the timetable and prices for all events from the Tourist Information Desk. You can also go online to get this information from our website.
That is the end of Section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Section 3. You will hear two psychology students, called Tim and Laura, talking about Laura's work placement. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 24. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 24.
Hi, Laura. Could you spare a few minutes to talk about the work placement you did last summer? I'm thinking of doing one myself.
Hi, Tim. Sure.
Didn't you do yours at an environmental services company?
That's right. It's only a very small company, and they needed someone to produce a company brochure. And I wanted to get some business experience, because I'm interested in a career in occupational psychology in a business environment. It was good, because I had overall responsibility for the project.
What kind of skills do you think you developed on the placement? I mean, apart from the ones you already had. Did you have to do all the artwork for the brochure, the layout and everything?
We hired the services of a professional photographer for that. I did have to use my IT skills to a certain extent because I cut and pasted text from marketing leaflets. But that didn't involve anything I hadn't done before.
Do you think you got any better at managing your time and prioritizing things? You always used to say you had trouble with that.
Oh, definitely. There was so much pressure to meet the project deadline. And I also got better at explaining things and asserting my opinions. because I had to have weekly consultations with the marketing manager and give him a progress report.
It sounds as if you got a lot out of it then.
Absolutely. It was really worthwhile. But, you know, the company benefited too.
Yes, they must have done. After all, if they'd used a professional advertising agency to produce their brochure instead of doing it in-house, presumably they'd have paid a lot more.
Oh, yes. I worked it out. It would have been 250% more, and I thought the end result was good, even though we did everything on site. The company has quite a powerful computer, and I managed to borrow some scanning software from the university. The new brochure looks really professional. It enhances the image of the company straight away.
So, in the long run, it should help them to attract clients and improve their sales figures?
That's the idea, yeah.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 25 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 25 to 30.
Well, all in all, it sounds very positive. I think I'll go ahead and apply for a placement myself. How do I go about it?
It's easy enough to do, because there's a government agency called STEP, S-T-E-P, that organizes placements for students. You should start by getting their booklet with all the details. I expect you can download one from their website.
Actually, they've got copies in the psychology department. I've seen them there. I'll just go to the office and pick one up.
Right. And then, if I were you, after I'd looked at it, I'd go over all the options with someone.
I suppose I should ask my tutor's advice. He knows more about me than anyone.
One of the career officers would be better. They've got more knowledge about the jobs market than your personal tutor would have.
Okay.
And then, when you know what you want, you can register with STEP. You'll find their address in the booklet. And once you've registered, they assign you to a mentor who looks after your application.
And then I suppose you just sit back and wait till you hear something?
They told me at the careers office that it's best to be proactive and get updates yourself by checking the website for new placement alerts. Your mentor is supposed to keep you informed, but you can't rely on that.
I don't suppose it's a good idea to get in touch with companies directly, is it?
Not really. But it is the company who notifies you if they want you to go for an interview. You get a letter of invitation or an email from personnel department.
And do I reply directly to them?
Yes, you do. STEP only gets involved again once you've been made a job offer.
Right. So once you've had an interview, you should let your mentor know what the outcome is? I mean, whether you're offered a job and whether you've decided to accept it?
That's right. They'll inform the careers office once a placement has been agreed, so you don't have to do that.
Is that all then?
More or less. Only once you've accepted an offer, you'll probably have to supply a reference, because the placement will be conditional on that. And that's something you should ask your own tutor to provide. He knows about your academic ability, and also about your qualities, like reliability.
Well, thanks very much for the information. I'm starting to look forward to...
That is the end of Section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section 4. You will hear a woman talking to a group of first-year science undergraduates about the developing science of nanotechnology. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Today we're going to look at an important area of science, namely nanotechnology. So, what is it? Nano means tiny, so it's science and engineering on the scale of atoms and molecules. The idea is that by controlling and rearranging atoms, you can literally create anything. However, as we'll see, the science of the small has some big implications, affecting us in many ways. There's no doubt that nanotechnology promises so much for civilization. However, all new technologies have their teething problems. And with nanotechnology, society often gets the wrong idea about its capabilities. Numerous science fiction books and movies have raised people's fears about nanotechnology, with scenarios such as inserting little nanorobots into your body that monitor everything you do without you realizing it, or self-replicating nanorobots that eventually take over the world. So, how do we safeguard such a potentially powerful technology? Some scientists recommend that nanoparticles be treated as new chemicals, with separate safety tests and clear labelling. They believe that greater care should also be taken with nanoparticles in laboratories and factories. Others have called for a withdrawal of new nanoproducts, such as cosmetics, and a temporary halt to many kinds of nanotech research. But as far as I'm concerned, there's a need to plough ahead with the discoveries and applications of nanotechnology. I really believe that most scientists would welcome a way to guard against unethical uses of such technology. We can't go around thinking that all innovation is bad, all advancement is bad. As with the debate about any new technology, it is how you use it that's important. So, let's look at some of its possible uses. Thanks to nanotechnology, there could be a major breakthrough in the field of transportation, with the production of more durable metals. These could be virtually unbreakable, lighter, and much more pliable, leading to planes that are 50 times lighter than at present. Those same improved capabilities will dramatically reduce the cost of travelling into space, making it more accessible to ordinary people and opening up a totally new holiday destination. In terms of technology, the computer industry will be able to shrink computer parts down to minute sizes. We need nanotechnology in order to create a new generation of computers that will work even faster and will have a million times more memory, but will be about the size of a sugar cube. Nanotechnology could also revolutionize the way that we generate power. The cost of solar cells will be drastically reduced, so harnessing this energy will be far more economical than at present. But nanotechnology has much wider applications than this and could have an enormous impact on our environment. For instance, tiny airborne nanorobots could be programmed to actually rebuild the ozone layer, which could lessen the impact of global warming on our planet. That's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? On a more local scale, this new technology could help with the clean-up of environmental disasters, as nanotechnology will allow us to remove oil and other contaminants from the water far more effectively. And if nanotechnology progresses as expected, as a sort of building block set of about 90 atoms, then you could build anything you wanted from the bottom up. In terms of production, this means that you only use what you need, and so there wouldn't be any waste. The notion that you could create anything at all has major implications for our health. It means that we'll eventually be able to replicate anything. This would have a phenomenal effect on our society. In time, it could even lead to the eradication of famine through the introduction of machines that produce food to feed the hungry.
But it's in the area of medicine that nanotechnology may have its biggest impact. How we detect disease will change as tiny biosensors are developed to analyze tests in minutes rather than days. There's even speculation nanorobots could be used to slow the aging process, lengthening life expectancy. As you can see, I'm very excited by the implications that could be available to us in the next few decades. Just how long it'll take, I honestly don't know.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.